Ghosts, cryptids, murder, conspiracies, beer, what, the ale.
Hello, friends.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back to What the Ale. I'm Alana Ray.
And I'm Mama J.
And before we get into it, Mama, do you have any What the Ale moments or drinking anything special? What's going on?
Well, I've got a pot roast in the oven, so I'm drinking some red wine today because I wanted something that I will continue to drink when I have my pot roast. So I am drinking it's called Ancient Method, and it's from Miraflores Winery. And it's like up in Pollock Pines-ish area on the way to South Lake Tahoe. So cute little winery, really delicious wine. So that's what I'm drinking. And I'm really looking forward to the pot roast because I feel like we've been so busy lately. Maybe that's my what the ale is. We've been so busy lately with theater things and travel things and whatever. I feel like we haven't had a lot of time to cook at home, and we've been eating out a lot, or, you know, door dashing a lot or whatever. And I'm kind of getting sick of food that I don't make because I like my food better. So I'm excited to have like a homemade meal tonight.
Oh, that sounds lovely. I kind of echo those sentiments a little bit. I feel like I've been making a lot of like very easy, quick and easy type food to make recently, and I haven't had like it was so bad. I was talking to a friend and I was like, man, I like gotta stop eating cheese because it's messing up the gunk. Like, it's just not
Okay. No, girl, you know what? Because I have a friend that had top surgery. And so yesterday was my night to cook for them. And I made cheese stuffed shells, which I haven't made in a long time, you know, but it's like four different kinds of cheese because it's ricotta, parmesan, mozzarella. And in this recipe that I tried a new recipe. It called for 2 tablespoons of cream cheese, which I've never had that in stuffed shells before, but it did make it nice and creamy. So yeah, I ate like a whole plate full of basically all cheese yesterday, but it was delicious and my friend really appreciated it. So
Yeah, I was gonna say I love a stuffed shells. I was actually my friend found a recipe and sent it to me for butternut squash stuffed shells, which is very autumnal. So I might be trying that someday, but I haven't
Well,
yet.
it's funny the autumn recipe part. One of my best friends, who is your godmother, called yesterday and like wanted old recipes, like wanted me to remind them how to make Alfredo and risotto, like all of these things that we used to eat all the time. And so yeah, she had a list of things. She's like, the weather is cooling off here, and I want to be able to like make some of these things that are like my comfort foods. And so yeah, today I have to send her a bunch of recipes.
I love that. I'm not gonna do it yet because I refuse to admit that it's cold yet. But I want to order those like soup ice cube maker things where you can
Oh,
like
yeah.
portion soup. Because I was like totally thinking about making like some chicken tortilla soup, maybe some chicken noodle, some minestrone, having like three or four types, and then just like freezing them and throwing a cube in. And so,
That's a good idea.
yeah, because I've been crappy at meal prepping.
Yeah, we've just been so busy. And I mean, we've been eating like good food, but I'm just tired of restaurant food, you know? So. And
No,
it's expensive, and it makes me tired. So,
I was gonna say,
yeah,
I
I'm
also
looking
feel like
forward.
restaurant food is like heavy. Like you're just like
Yeah.
taking a nap after.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to some pot roast and mashed potatoes, and and then I'll have my wine. So, what about you? Anything you drinking?
I really liked the beer I had last time, so I got another 2 weeks notice IPA. So that's fun. Really good though. Really enjoying it. But let me think. What the ale moments? Okay, I'm a witch. Did I tell you, I'm a witch?
You're officially a witch,
I've
not
decided.
just a witchy vibe.
For those of us who don't know, I really like to read tarot cards. I think they're very cool. And I've been like kind of like in my feels and whatever the past couple of weeks. So I've been like reading my tarot a bit, and every single reading is insane. Like it is
Really?
insane how, and I mean, I guess the cards are very much left up for interpretation, and they're like, you can kind of like feel a feel, through lots of different things, but I feel like I've just had a lot of cards that have been like so accurate recently. And then I was also like talking to a friend about like these dreams I was having, and I was like having these dreams that were like very, I don't know, prophetic. Like I had a dream, I was like on the Brooklyn Bridge and I was like walking with someone, and I could either like follow them or I could like run back to Brooklyn, and I chose to run back to Brooklyn. And I thought that was like, I don't know, very prophetic for like situational things, and like I don't know, just very strange. That, so yeah, I don't know, I'm a witch, that's just where I've
Well,
been.
hopefully you're predicting all good things.
It's been good things. My cards did tell me that a new love is coming into my life, and I don't know what that means, and I'm stressed. But
Well, that's exciting.
yeah. So anyway, I'm a witch.
Okay, so you mentioned witches, and then I saw something this week that I totally was going to mention to you, and then I forgot to, but when you said witch, it reminded me. In terms of fun festive fall events that I've never heard of, but I think are fabulous and I totally want to do sometime. Did you know that in Morro Bay, they have an annual witches and warlocks paddleboard night where everybody dresses up as witches and they go paddleboarding, and then people like on the sides line up to like watch them in their different costumes and like. But it's like witches on parade on the water. And I think that's amazing. I've never heard of that before, but apparently it's an annual thing that they do in Morro Bay. So I totally want to go someday. I don't have time this year, but yeah, sounds fun.
That is really strange, but also very fun. I have never heard of
Yeah.
that. It kind of makes me think of like, did you know that there's a Coney Island Mermaid Parade?
No.
I don't know when it is, but apparently, like in New York on Coney Island, there's like a mermaid parade, and you just like dress up like a mermaid and like do a little parade. And I'm like, that
That sounds fun.
sounds so fun. I have a friend, not a friend, like someone I know who like lived in New York for a long time, and she's like, oh yeah, we used to go every year. And I was like, what? Never.
Sounds awesome. I totally go to that too.
So I don't know. I think I need to Google when the mermaid parade is and maybe
Yeah.
check it out next year.
No, that totally could be added to the dumb little things on the bucket list, you know, because I have the big things on the bucket list and then the dumb little funny things, that could be one of the dumb little funny things, but that'd be fun.
Also, yeah, well, because I wonder, okay, so this is another like silly, dumb little New York thing I want to do. I want to do the Great Saunter. Have you heard of her?
No.
So it's basically it's ridiculous. You have to walk like 30 miles in a day, but you basically walk the entire perimeter of Manhattan, and it's like a bar crawl.
Oh, yeah, you did tell me that. If it's a bar crawl, I don't imagine many people actually make it all the way.
No.
Yeah. You probably make it to like 5 bars and then you're like, I'm tapped out.
Yeah, no, exactly. I don't know. I think it would be fun to do though. I would totally give it
Yeah.
a shot with like liquid IV, like
Yeah.
just in my little fanny pack.
Yeah. You have liquid IV on an IV drip.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that it would be fun though, but yeah, I don't think I'm a lightweight. I don't think I'd make it very far.
Yeah, I think I'd probably make it down to like the Lower East Side and then be like, all right, I'm ready to go home.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to be like, I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that'd be fun.
Cool. Well, I know that you have a story for us. Are you ready to get into it?
I am, but I really do want to give a warning that this story ended up being way more fucked up than I even thought it was going to be. And I knew it was going to be fucked up, but like very, very sad. And, you know, I wanted to do something that I knew was like a haunted place. And, you know, but I didn't realize how dark the history was. So I really want to stress like, I am not intending to be disrespectful to the people that had bad experiences in this place. And once I explain to you what it is, you'll understand why I feel the need to say that because yeah, I mean it just is really really sad what happened here. And so that you know we'll get into some ghosty things, but I obviously have to give history about like what happened in the house. And so yeah, this is a place that I heard about on a ghost tour in New Orleans. Any
Oh,
ideas what I might be talking about?
please don't tell me it's the LaLaurie Mansion.
Yes, girl, it is.
Oh,
I know, it's so sad.
Mom,
So,
Mom, this
I
game
know.
is so dark and
It is
so.
so dark. So, yeah, trigger warning for all kinds of horrible abuses and tortures and things like that. But yeah, so I'll be talking about what some people think is one of the first female serial killers in America, although that has not been proven, but some people think she's among some of the first. So none other than Madame Delphine McCarty LaLaurie.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready? You don't seem ready,
We have a sip
Alana.
of beer.
Okay. Okay, everybody take a sip of your drink. And here we go.
Okay, I'm
Okay.
ready.
So Madame Delphine was a wealthy New Orleans socialite. She was married three times. Her first husband was Don Ramon de Lopez y Angulo, and he was a high-ranking Spanish royal officer. Now, I did read that he got in trouble for marrying her without the consent of the Spanish crown, but they went and argued, their reasons for why it was should be okay. And apparently Delphine was actually really influential enough to make the queen side with her that it should be okay that they got married without permission. And but he did get called back to the royal court at some point because he was appointed to be the consul general for Spain in the New Orleans territory. And apparently he just didn't really like his job and wasn't doing a good job, so he got called back to Madrid to answer for that. But he died while they were traveling, and it was really unexpected. And Delphine was pregnant at the time, so she gave birth to their daughter only a few days after his death.
I mean, that's
Yeah.
really sad. I
Yeah.
hope, despite how horrible of a human she is,
Yeah.
that, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Yeah. Well, but she didn't let it keep her down too long. So in 19, or I'm sorry, 1808. I don't know why I always want to say 19, even though I know it's a whole different century.
I do it too. I was doing a
Yeah.
bunch of trials with 1690. I kept wanting to say 1962 or
Yeah.
whatever. I was like,
Yeah.
come on.
My brain just always starts with 19. I don't know why. Maybe it's because that's the generation I was born in, but anyways, in 1808, Delphine married a second time, and this was to Jean Blanc. And he was a well-respected banker, lawyer, and legislator, but it's also believed that he worked in illegal slave smuggling.
There it is. Okay.
So, yeah, starting in 1812, slaves were no longer allowed to be brought into NOLA. And it seemed like he made a shit ton of money smuggling people after that date, because, since it wasn't legal to do that anymore, there was like a lot of underground.
It wasn't, it was like legal to have slaves, but it wasn't legal to
Yes.
bring them into New Orleans.
Yeah. And it sounds like it was like a couple of years earlier. I didn't write the date. A couple of years earlier, I guess that became law in other places in America, but and it wasn't until 1812. I think it was 4 years later. It was 1812 that New Orleans and Louisiana decided to do that. So you could own slaves, but you couldn't bring in new slaves from other countries. So you couldn't bring slaves from Africa or, the Caribbean or anything else.
California.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, but he made a shit ton of money doing that, according to rumors, but it's not really easy to prove. But the two of them had four children together during the 8 years of their marriage. And then this, there are so many things in this story where, it's like this is what is believed, but there could be two possibilities. So there are some accounts that say he died, but there are other accounts that say he just ran away in 1816. There were no records of him after this death, but there were also no records of his death. So, I don't know if he ran and changed his name or if he did die, didn't find a body or something. I don't know. But there were no records of him at all in life or in death after that date. So Delphine was seen as being widowed again, even though there's no clear explanation for his death.
What if she murdered?
She could have, girl. I wouldn't be shocked. So I didn't see any evidence of that, but I would not be shocked.
Friends, I want to be honest. I don't like this woman.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of hers. I
sorry.
really, and when we get to the end, I'm very upset with her, what happens with her. But anyways, we'll get to that. So at this time, she was still really well respected in New Orleans, and she came from money and her family was really well known, so she was still respectable and all of that. And then she met her third husband, and he was about 15 years younger than her. And they did have some marital issues, and they separated at some point, which I'll mention later. But his name was Dr. Leonard Lewis Nicholas LaLaurie.
What a name.
And yeah, it's a very long name. So, and he also seemed to be well liked, and generally people kind of considered him a nice guy. But there are some things that make him a little bit of a shady character when it came to his career ambitions. So in France, he was educated in dentistry, but when he came to New Orleans, he opened a medical practice and advertised that he had completed a medical degree in France, which I know to be a dentist, it's also a doctorate or a doctor degree, a medical degree. But it's a different kind. And, so he just kind of didn't mention to people that it was actually dentistry he was trained in. So he tried to open a practice to be a doctor. And because there were not many regulations in place, he was able to switch from dentistry to being a surgeon.
No.
And nobody really raised any eyebrows.
No, that's not okay. I know nowadays, we have a lot of checks and balances for that.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like to be
I
like
know, right?
now, like
I'm just a surgeon, whatever. I used to clean teeth, but now I'm a surgeon, whatever.
well, I work in a hospital, so I know how to do surgery,
Yeah, I
that's
was gonna say, yeah, I think you should just, do a crossover, Alana, with no education. But anyways, so it doesn't seem like he ever really developed a thriving practice. But it was documented that he would test various potions out on one potions and treatments on slaves. And at that time, that was not illegal. Like you could use slaves as guinea pigs for, testing medical things.
Yeah, and I again, we know a lot of things, but there are very valid reasons for there being a distrust in medical care among the
Yeah.
community, and this is another example of that.
Yeah, and there are many examples throughout history of, particularly Black people, but people of color in general not being able to trust medical professionals. And yeah, but this is definitely one of those. I think there were a lot of rumors that he was conducting these like really vicious experiments on people. I found that that's not true. Like, there's no documentation of that until like the 1940s, and that seemed like a really, I don't know, exaggerate, and I'll get to that. I'll show you some of those exaggerations later. But none of those reports or whatever were actually present back at the time when all of this was happening. So I don't think those are actually true. Most of the people that I read about or listened to podcasts or whatever, most of them said they don't think that's true, but it is a rumor.
Wow. Still not great.
So they were married in 1827, and it does seem like he, in terms of like finances, he benefited more because, he was trying to start a practice, but she was already wealthy. And so in 1832, Madame LaLaurie and her husband moved into the mansion that, just happens to be a few blocks up and a few blocks over from where the famous Café du Monde is in modern day times, which
Yeah.
has amazing venues.
Girl, I
And
cannot wait to go to New Orleans. I have plans.
No, the beignets are amazing. And this is totally a side note, just because I'm hungry. Café du Monde was not around when they bought the mansion, but just so you know,
mean,
it's close
hey.
by. If you wanted to see the mansion and get a tasty treat, you could.
Know what? Thanks for all the heads up, the tips,
Yeah. But anyways, the mansion is located near the corner of Royal Street and what is now Governor Nichols Street. And Delphine, it seems like she basically bought the land and the two-story mansion in her own name without much involvement from Dr. LaLaurie, because like I said, he didn't really have much. And she, you know, she was raised really wealthy, and she at this point she had inherited significant amount of money. So she was like managing her own money quite well. And, you know, people saw her as kind of like a savvy businesswoman. So yeah, so she was able to buy the property really without his help. And I will say, like, this girl loved to flaunt her money. She loved to host lavish parties, and she would invite everyone who was anyone. And people would say that she would really pamper her guests. And, you know, generally people saw her as like very kind and thoughtful and generous, but her public persona was very different than her private life. And, you know, what was going on in her house was completely left in the shadows for many years.
And were there any stories of like people who knew her as like a socialite that like, I don't know, had weird encounters with her or anything? Like, do we get anything like that?
Well, later we do, you know, and I will get to that, but generally at this time she was still seen, you know, as mostly like a good person, but you know, also people were enjoying being invited to these parties, and it was like, you know, wanting to be able to say you were there and that kind of stuff. So there might have been people that were overlooking some things. I did hear, I think it was, gosh, I can't remember what show or podcast or whatever it was on, but I think I heard somewhere that people saw her as really beautiful, but I think like finding her first husband, people said that it was a little difficult because she was kind of an opinionated person, and that would turn a lot of people off to her. But most of the accounts were that at this point she was pretty well respected.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder,
And then I
especially,
do want to give, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was saying, I wonder, especially because she was like married to like a Spanish human and stuff too, like if that had an impact on like her having big opinions that weren't very, I don't know, for democracy.
Yeah, but you know, at that time, most of the immigrants to New Orleans were of Spanish and French descent.
Interesting.
So, yeah, so I mean, probably a lot of the people's opinions were pretty similar. You know, and she was actually from Irish descent, but yeah, a lot of people at the time were Spanish and French. So I will give a little background about her family of origin. You know, because the slave ownership was something she was born into, like everybody in her family owned slaves. She was born on March 19th, 1787, and her father's family had moved here from Ireland in the 1730s. Both of her parents were seen as prominent in the European Creole community, and she had a couple of relatives that were politically prominent in America. So she had an uncle by marriage named Esteban Rodriguez Miro. And he was the governor of the Spanish American provinces of Louisiana and Florida from 1785 to 1791. Yeah. And then she also had a cousin named Augustine de McCarty, who was actually the mayor of New Orleans from 1815 to 1820. So, yeah. So she had, I mean, her family was like very well respected, you know, people that were, you know, had positions of power, you know, and obviously a lot of money and the status came with that. But yeah, they were all slave owners, and there were some uprisings and revolutions that were taking place during her early life that she obviously would have been aware of. And the uprisings caused slaveholders to have like fear of insurrections from their slaves. And I'm not going to get into all the details, but the specific uprisings were the Haitian Revolution of 1791 and the MENA Conspiracy of 1791, the Pointe Coupee Conspiracy of 1794, and the 1811 German Coast Uprising. And there was a very significant event that happened to Delphine's family that inspired one of these uprisings, because apparently her uncle was killed by his slaves in 1771. And that event helped to inspire, you know, what several years later would become the MENA conspiracy. And so, you know, of course, what do slave owners do when they start fearing an uprising? They begin to treat their slaves even more abusively with harsher punishments.
Yeah.
So, that if like if the slaves were to step out of line, they would like be in so much fear that hopefully they wouldn't try to fight back.
Yeah. Well, that's just so, like, I mean, we all know that slavery is bad, right? Like, I don't think that is a question anywhere in this world. But the idea that these people probably were scared for their lives and were probably so abused and they killed someone and then they were like so harshly punished for it. And
Well, and then
I'm
increased how harsh the punishments were after these.
Yeah, and it's like one of those things again, like I'm not saying it's right to kill people, but like I get it if you are like literally being torn from your home country and forced to work in really harsh conditions and treated as less than human. Like, yeah, absolutely, I get it. Anyway, sorry to
So,
I just
oh no, you're absolutely right. And so Delphine did learn from her family that in order to retain power, she should mistreat her slaves. And girl, she certainly did that.
No, I don't. Okay.
So before we get into what she actually did, I did want to mention that in New Orleans, they did develop something called Code Noir. Do you know what that is?
I've heard of it. I just
Black
don't
codes.
remember.
So they developed, Code Noir, Black Code, and it was rules about how slaves were supposed to be treated. So some of the good things were that older or injured slaves were supposed to receive medical care, including hospitalization. They were supposed to be allowed, or, not allowed, I should say, to work on Sundays and holidays. So they were supposed to be given breaks. And
Okay.
then no forced marriages or breeding, and there was laws that you could not remove children under the age of 14 from their moms.
I mean, that's good, at least, I guess.
So I mean, there were some good things about it. There was a couple of strange things, like one of them didn't actually have to do with black slaves, so I don't know why it was in this, but it's called for the removal of all Jewish people from the colony.
Oh.
Which I just thought that would be interesting that that's a part of the Black Code that was supposed to be about black slaves. So I don't know why that was in there, but it was. And then it also stated that all black slaves must be baptized into the Catholic Church. And
Okay.
again, there was like this square where on Sundays they were supposed to be allowed to go to the square and practice their Catholic faith with each other. And that was supposed to be a safe place for them to go. But of course, a lot of them were not allowed to go. And then a lot of them, they were not Catholic, and even though they were forced to be baptized as Catholic, that is not their religion.
Right.
And so a lot of times they would go to that park saying they were going to practice their Catholic faith, but they would practice other religions. And with the Haitian slaves coming in, part of that was voodoo and which is a religion. So but anyways, I thought that was interesting. And then I will say the most important thing about these black codes, though, is there was a huge discrepancy between the punishments if slave broke the codes versus slave owners broke the codes.
Oh, I'm
So,
sure.
of course, if slaves broke the codes, they would be punished with violence. And oftentimes, first-time offenders would have their ears cut off and would be branded with a Florida lease.
Their ears.
And then a second offense, they could be hamstrung,
Oh, God.
which I know, which if you don't know what that is, don't look it up, but it's horrible. I mean, it's like hobbling. And then their third offense could be punishment by death. And so, I mean, it depended on what the offense was, but these treatments for, or the punishments for the slaves violating these codes were very severe. And
Right.
then now, what do you think happened to slave owners who mistreated their slaves?
A fine or a slap on the wrist.
They would get a warning. And sometimes if it was like a very serious offense, they would have their slaves taken away. But as we'll see in Delphine's story, there's always a way to get your slaves back, even if they're taken from you. And
Okay.
then I wanted to mention that there was, because there at that time there were a lot of people who became freemen. And they would have to write FPC after their name on all their documents. So that meant free person of color.
Okay.
And it would have to be written after their name if they were a freed slave, or if they were mixed race people that could pass as white. So if you were a light skinned person, you would have to write FPC so that people knew, oh, you're not white enough though, or if you're mixed race, you're not white enough to, not be considered an FPC.
I didn't.
So, yeah.
It's important to talk about. I recognize, but I don't like it
Yeah.
at
No,
all.
this whole story is horrible. I mean, this part of our history, but yeah. So now we are going to get into Delphine and her treatment of the people who were working for her. So again, I want to give a trigger warning. There's lots of violent and horrible things that she did. And so yeah, I just want to warn people about that. Now, there was a historian named Carolyn Merrow Long that she reported that Delphine was first investigated in 1828 due to rumors about abusive treatment of slaves. But
Okay.
apparently, there were no court records related to the investigation. There is documentation, though, that Madame Laurie paid for legal services and then ended up selling a number of her slaves following the investigation.
Wow.
So, maybe trying to cover up what was done or what she had done to them, or maybe she was ordered to sell those slaves. Because like I said, that could be one of your punishments if you violated the codes, was that you had to like let those slaves go. So it is possible that that's what that was about. And there was a particular story where Dr. LaLaurie, her husband, got upset with her about the treatment of a particular slave. And so they got in a big fight about it, and that slave was let go by Dr. LaLaurie. And, obviously that had her pretty angry with him. And he moved out during this time. And then after he moved out, she filed for legal separation, stating that he had beaten her and asking that she be allowed to stay in the home.
Oh,
And
wow.
it seems like a lot of the belief is that he probably did hit her to stop her from abusing this particular slave. And, and then he ended up freeing him. So it does seem like there were times where he was not down with what she was doing and he would try to stop it. But it is possible that he hit her during that fight.
Okay. Did they
They
say like why specifically it was that, like why he was stopping that treatment or like what it
Yeah, they didn't say what it was like, but it must have been pretty severe if he finally tried to intervene.
right.
So, yeah, but I
Yeah.
couldn't find anything that said what exactly it was.
Okay. I was just wondering. Like I was wondering if like he had a personal like connection or reason or if it was I don't know. Like I was just
Yeah.
curious.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything. But he did end up reconciling before that incident. Before the incident where the case really blew up. And, because he was in the house the night of the fire, which is what we're going to talk about. And so, again, this is where it gets really dark because I am going to give the details about the conditions and the abuse and the deaths of the enslaved people. But people did start noticing that Delphine was often purchasing new slaves with no explanation of where the other slaves have gone. So a lot of people started spreading the rumor, or maybe talking the truth, that about the possibility that she, was killing her slaves, or that slaves were dying in her care, and that that meant she needed to buy new ones. And I really want to stress, there's not a lot of evidence for that, but also there's no explanation for where these people went. And so this is why people think that she perhaps was a serial killer that just didn't. There wasn't enough evidence to prove it. And then people also began discussing other concerns, such as her cook was chained to the stove. And apparently, at a party, some people had noticed that. And so those rumors started to fly about that situation. And so there were investigations that were started, like formal investigations that were started after an incident in 1833. Where a neighbor reported seeing Delphine carrying a whip and chasing a young female slave up to the roof.
Oh gosh.
And at some point, the girl, and it was a young girl, like a child, but the girl ran out of the neighbor's sight. But then the neighbor heard the girl scream and then a thud.
Okay.
So the belief is that the girl either fell or was pushed to her death. And
And
then,
they saw, or not necessarily they saw, but like it's believed that like she just like fell to the ground.
yes. And then, because you heard the thud on the ground, and
Oh,
then
'cause she was on the
later,
roof. Okay. Sorry.
yeah, she was on the roof, yeah.
Okay.
And then later that evening, the same neighbor, was kind of watching out at the house because not sure of what she saw. But later that night, she reported seeing a male slave carry a small bundle out to the yard where he buried her, where he buried it. So, the woman obviously thought that the child was buried in the yard.
God, okay.
Yeah, so these reports were actually taken seriously, and Delphine was forced to sell all of her slaves. But of course, she had relatives that went ahead and bought them at auction and returned them to her. So, like I said, they would make you sell your slaves, but they didn't pay attention to, like, are you getting them back, or they wouldn't stop you from getting new slaves anyway. So,
That's really interesting. Like the idea that they, like, there's not. Okay.
yeah. And she tried to tell people that it was a horrible accident and that the girl just fell. But people started seeing her differently after that. And then rumors about other abuses started to spread as well because people were paying more attention. And then, like I said, the fire that broke out on April 10th, 1834 is what really like made everything come to light. And I mean, it really did prove that all of the whisperings about her treatment of slaves were true. And, the fire was insanely tragic, but it was also tragic and just horrific about what the fire revealed about her treatment of the enslaved people. So the fire was actually started by her cook, who was a 70-year-old woman. And like I said, she was kept chained to the stove. So she basically lived in the kitchen. And the cook decided that death would be better than the continued abuse. So she set the fire on purpose as a suicide attempt.
Oh my gosh, okay.
Yeah. So many neighbors, I mean, when you see the flames, many people came to help and were obviously curious about what was happening at the house anyways, because they had heard rumors. So people, came out to surround the house. And then when firefighters arrived, it is said that they were asked to save her antique furniture instead of the slaves upstairs. And she was directing the helpers away from the locked rooms upstairs. So thankfully, the firefighters ignored this request. The firefighters ended up finding two female slaves locked in a room, and one of them had a like tight metal collar around her neck and chains around her feet. In another room, there was an older woman chained to a bed. And she had this really large head wound that clearly had never been treated. And she was too weak to stand on her own. So they had to carry her out. And it was said that they just carried her out on the mattress because she was so weak. They just wanted to like leave her laying down.
Okay.
And then there were also some non-firefighter helpers that one of them was a judge named Jean-François Canoje.
Okay.
And he was the judge that asked Dr. LaLaurie to unlock the attic door. And apparently, Dr. LaLaurie made some comment about how people need to mind their own business and that there was more important matters to attend to rather than what was behind the door. And I think he probably knew what the public reaction would be if those slaves were discovered. But of course, the judge was like, fuck you, I'm getting in there. And so he and three others ended up breaking down that door, and they found seven slaves who had been horribly mutilated that were locked in the attic. The men were chained to the walls. One of them had been left in chains so long that a head wound that he had endured had maggots in it, and he couldn't do anything to clean it because he was in chains.
Wow.
All of the slaves were emaciated and weak. And then this is a quote from the New Orleans Bee on April 11th, 1834. So this was a day after the fire. The quote says, seven people, more or less horribly mutilated, were seen suspended by the neck with their limbs apparently stretched and torn from one extremity to another.
Okay.
And the people that were in that room said that they had been held like that for months.
Oh, God.
And then they They also recovered whip shackles and knives that had been used to abuse the slaves. And like the knives were even covered in blood and like hadn't been cleaned. And yeah. So during interview. Okay, go ahead.
I don't like it.
I know.
It's like what the fuck? What type of,
Yeah.
I that's all. Just I'm just baffled every time I hear this story. That's it.
Yeah. And, during interviews, there was one slave that said Delphine would beat them for no reason, and she just seemed to enjoy abusing them. So the story that this person recounted was there was a time where Delphine was having one of her fancy parties, and she came upstairs dressed in a ball gown. And, while her party guests were downstairs, and she just began whipping slaves without any provocation. And then it was like once she was satisfied, like she needed to get out this abusive behavior that she needed to, whatever. And then once she was satisfied, she just left and returned to the party. So yeah, it just seems like she enjoyed abusing them. None of them had done anything to provoke that.
Well, and again, these people didn't do anything to deserve any sort of
Well, yeah,
behavior.
not at all. But even if she was going to try to argue, that she was trying to keep them in line or something, I mean, it just seems like she would abuse them even if they weren't doing anything to step out of line. So, not that the abuse would be okay in any circumstances, but it's just crazy. And then another slave reported that Delphine's daughter, her eldest daughter, had snuck some food to the slaves. And when Delphine caught her, she ended up beating her as well.
Oh wow. So like it's
Yeah.
not even, it's more of a she doesn't, she's just an abusive person.
Yeah, she's an
Not
abusive
even
piece of shit.
okay.
Yeah. And then from everything I read, it looks like after this night, the eldest daughter, I don't know if she completely stopped contact, but she did not, like, she didn't flee with Delphine after this incident, what the other children did. So it seems like maybe that was her break from her mom.
Okay.
Because she didn't agree with her mom's views. So it does seem like, I don't know if they had any relationship at all, but it does not seem like they were close after this.
Right.
I mean, not that you could ever be close to somebody like Delphine, but.
Yeah, no, thank you. You know?
And then, as I mentioned, there was a book in the 1940s that was partly responsible for the exaggerated retelling, because the book tells about all of these things that supposedly happened, but none of that is in any reports, newspapers. I mean, there's no record of any of this. None of the slaves reported this when they were interviewed. So it just seems like this person decided to make it more gory just to sell more books.
Okay.
But I just want to put it out there to say if people have heard these stories, there are things that were exaggerated. So they talked about various tortures, cages, and experiments that were not accurate. And this is like as if the horrific truth wasn't bad enough that we would need to embellish it. I mean, I feel like it's bad enough we don't need to embellish it. But there are stories about eye gouging, using a spoon to stir the brain, people being skinned or having their nails torn off. And
Yeah.
those things are not true. So those were those embellishments from that book in the 1940s, but people have run with that.
I'm glad it's not true because I definitely had heard those stories.
Yeah.
So I'm glad it's not true, but still
Yeah.
just like,
Yeah.
it just
Yeah.
makes
And then,
my whole
yeah. And then
body ache.
yeah. And then, Judge, Jean Francis, and the three other men that you broke that door down, they went to give a deposition about what they discovered. And at the, that was the same night. So in the meantime, the slaves were taken to, I read two accounts. One said to a local jail and the other said a mayor's office, but where they were fed and given like basic medical care. But they were also available for public viewing.
Fuck that, dude.
Yeah.
Like, get
And
out of
then
here.
the shackles and knives and things that I mentioned that they confiscated, those were also available for public viewing.
You know, people are just,
So,
yeah, okay,
yeah.
sorry.
So it's basically like a human zoo. which, you know, it just further traumatized these humans that were already super traumatized. And then it dehumanized them even further because people just like wanted to see them as a spectacle, you know?
Yeah.
So the New Orleans Bee reported that by April 12th, up to 4,000 people came to view the conditions of the slaves.
Okay.
But the good news is that it did outrage people, and that mob of 4,000 ended up standing outside of the mansion. You know, and they were anticipating that the LaLaurie's would be arrested. And as time went on, and the police weren't coming to arrest them, the mob was becoming more and more angry and belligerent, and they began shouting and throwing things at the windows. And the LaLaurie's were locked inside the mansion, you know, once the fire was extinguished, because the fire, it did damage to a part of the house, but it ended up not, I mean, the house didn't burn down, it was still there.
Right.
And so they were hiding, and then suddenly, after hours of, the people being outside and them being locked inside, this carriage burst through the gates. And onlookers had to dodge out of the way as it stormed away from the mansion.
Wow.
So some onlookers say that Delphine was alone in the carriage. Others say the carriage was empty and that it was a decoy so they could escape out the back. Dr. LaLaurie was nowhere to be seen, and people say that the children escaped out the back. So I don't know whether Delphine was in the carriage or not, because there's different accounts, but however it happened, they all ended up escaping the house.
Okay.
But after, the mob saw the carriage, and thinking Delphine got away, the mob went for vengeance, and so they like tore up the house, and they like tore up paintings and ripped holes in the mattresses and furniture. They basically just tore everything, broke everything, because they obviously had a strong reaction to how she had been treating people.
Worse, yeah.
Yeah. Now she did make her escape. So some accounts say she boarded a ship that afternoon, because this was in the afternoon that she ran. And other reports say that she hid out in New Orleans for several days before setting sail. But either way, we know that she essentially exiled herself and lived out her remaining days in Paris. After fleeing, she did put out her own stories of being abused by her husband and blaming him for everything. But all of the accounts of being abused, the people that were actually there, all of them said it was her. So none of them put it on him. So it just seemed like she was trying to shift the blame. And Dr. LaLaurie did not go with her to Paris. He ended up moving to Cuba because his reputation was so tarnished, he felt like he could never come back to the United States. So he stayed in Cuba until his death.
Wow.
Now you would think that having all of this come out and people knowing how horrible of a person you are, you would think you would go into hiding.
Yeah.
But she continued to live her high life in Paris. She managed her businesses from there. Because it wasn't like, there was going to be no consequence for her, right? Like, so even in America, she probably would have gotten a slap on the wrist, even though people were so outraged. But the
Right.
way the laws were, it's not like she was going to go to prison. And so, in Paris, like a lot of people didn't know about it, but even the people that did, it's not like they were going to extradite her. So she just continued to live her rich bitch fancy life in Paris. And that really pisses me off that she got away with this with no consequence at all.
Yeah. What was it in American Horror Story? Didn't they like kill her? Like didn't like what did God, what did they do to her? I don't know. I like that version
Yeah,
better.
I was going to mention later that yes, Kathy Bates played a version of her. Now, what happened in American Horror Story is not true to what happened here, but they just made her personality and her abusive nature a part of that character. And Kathy Bates killed it. But I mean, I watched that when it came out, girl. I really don't remember how it ended, but
No, I'm like pretty sure that Angela Bassett like did some crazy ass
I
spell.
think so too.
I
Yeah,
just
Angela.
don't remember when it was.
Yeah, Angela Bassett is like my queen, and she's such a badass. But yeah, she's great in that.
Not to divert, but where is her Oscar? That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I agree. So, according to the French archives of Paris, Delphine died on December 7th of 1849 at the age of 62.
Wow.
But it seems that she did actually return to the US after her brother's death in 1850.
Oh.
So she could not have died in Paris in 1849. And we know this because her signature is on legal documents regarding her brother's estate. And then in 1858, her name did appear in local papers to settle her estate. So this was after her death. But because it takes time for estate issues to, be settled and then to make the news, it is believed that she probably died sometime between 1855 and 1858. But
Okay.
no one can say for sure. And it's also unclear where she is buried, but some people think she's buried in a St. Louis cemetery in New Orleans.
Okay.
And but there, I will say there are rumors that like she died during like a pig hunt or something. And there's no evidence for that. And that would have been when she's in Paris, but she clearly came back here and was alive those last couple of years in America. So those stories seem to not be true.
Right.
And then the LaLaurie family owned the home for 3 years after the fire, and her son ended up managing the sale of the house. And the house was so damaged that it essentially needed to be rebuilt. So during the rebuilding is when the third story was added. And the man that first owned the house only kept it for 3 months. He reported moans, screams, and dark energy. He tried renting it out to a barber and a store owner, but they didn't last long either.
Wow, okay.
He abandoned the house, and since then it's become many different things. So it's been a public high school, a tobacco business, a gambling den, a conservatory of music and dance school, an apartment building, a refuge for young delinquents, a bar, and this is where, this bar owner ended up naming it the Haunted Saloon. So he was probably the first, American to try to profit off of it being a haunted space. I don't know if that's true or not, but he named it the Haunted Saloon. So, and this was back in the day. And then it was a furniture store, and the owner of the furniture store reported that continuously, almost every night, furniture was being damaged with some kind of liquidy substance. And it would only happen at night, no explanation. So he actually like would stay there and like try to make sure nobody is coming or going out of the building. And even nights that he was there watching the doors, damage would happen to the furniture with no explanation. So he ended up moving out.
Wow.
And then during the Great Depression, it was housing for war workers, and then it became a luxury apartment building. So it was so many different things over the years. And there was one woman that reported seeing the Dr. LaLaurie and that the water would turn off and on by itself. There's a story of a man who bought the house, and this is when it was an apartment complex, and he was kind of like a slumlord though. Like he like would take advantage mostly of Italian immigrants that were coming in that didn't have a lot of money.
Okay.
And this is where we start hearing stories that there were bodies found under the floorboards.
Wow.
But there are no police reports, death, or burial records to confirm these stories. But some people believe that the bodies are the slaves who went missing, and that people thought that she must have killed because she would buy new slaves. So people believe that these were the bodies of those slaves and that the slumlord kept it quiet so he can continue renting and making money without, setting off any alarms or disrupting his income. So there's no way to know if that's true, but that's a rumor.
Yeah. Okay.
And there was during this time period where it was an apartment, there was an Italian immigrant that was staying there, and he said he had an interaction with a naked black man in chains who attacked him and then vanished.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't like that.
Yeah. So I'm going to get into some of the other ghosty things. So obviously, like dark energy, a lot of moaning coming from the rooms where the slaves were kept. People hear screams, rattling chains, disembodied voices, scratching, and phantom footsteps. There are sometimes apparitions of the abused people walking in the house and in the garden. Many people have who have stood near the house report that they feel like they're being taken over by negative energy. So even though you can't come up to the house, if you're like out on the street, people report that. There are pets that are said to have found butchered in the house. And children report being chased and or hit with a whip, and many of the children report that there is a bad lady chasing them.
Wow, that's
Yeah.
scary.
Yeah. And then some people reported figures wandering the halls in dark shrouds. There was a woman staying there that reported that she saw Delphine's ghost leaning over the crib of her infant son while he was sleeping. And that the apparition of Delphine vanished once the mother screamed. And then I will say in 1849, there was a tenant who lived there, and this was when that, it was converted to apartments, and he was brutally murdered in his room. Now, his belongings had been ransacked, but when, so police kind of thought he was a victim of robbery, but when they were investigating, the murder, there was really nothing of value that was missing, even though the room had been ransacked. And then one of the friends of this man said that that the man had reported having problems with what he called sprites in the house. And that he claimed that the friend told him that there was a demon in the house who wasn't going to rest until he met his end. Yeah, so I mean, he obviously was afraid of whatever was in the house, and then he ended up dying a brutal murder that was never solved. So it said that his spirit is there. And
That's
then, when,
crazy though. I mean, could you imagine like living in like just a place with that energy and then also dying a bitter death? Like that would be
when it
wow.
was like he kind of knew something was coming for him. So that's, I mean, that had to be scary too.
Yeah,
And
I
then when I,
wonder.
yeah. And then when I said the house had been used as a school for girls at some point, originally it was mixed, mixed race school, but eventually they, because of Reconstruction era politics, it ended up becoming a school specifically for Black girls. And within a very short time of that change, people started reporting that there were physical assaults where girls would like roll up their sleeves and they would have scratches or bruises. And when teachers would ask, where did this come from? Who did this for you? They would just say that woman or the bad woman. So a lot of the people think that that was Madame Delphine still torturing people.
I mean, it wouldn't shock me considering the fact that these are black and brown girls too. I mean, yeah,
Yeah. And then I was just gonna say, because there are ghost tours in New Orleans because it's a very haunted town. But the Ghost City Tours team reports that they've had a couple of incidents where one of the guides felt something pull on her backpack, and when she turned, there was nothing there. And so she like faced back to the tour group and continued, and then felt an even stronger tug that kind of like pulled her back. And she told people what she was experiencing. And then there was one situation where they were like under the street lamps, near the mansion, like across the street, and they were telling the story of the little girl who fell or was pushed from the roof, and her name, I guess, was Leah. So when the tour guide mentioned Leah, the lights flickered on, and they had been the lights had been burnt out for like weeks, I guess. And then everybody was kind of like, oh my gosh, like, lights came on. And then the tour guide continued the story. And then the next time she said Leah, the lights went out again. So people believe that maybe that was Leah letting them know that she was there. Oh, and then they said, again, this was just on the Ghost City Tours website, but they said they had a medium on one of the tours that snapped a picture of the there's a, like a bricked up window on the building, And the medium said, that's not where the little girl fell out of. And but they hadn't even gotten to that part of the story yet. And so they were like, yeah, you're right. She fell off the roof into the courtyard. And then a few minutes later, she said that like there was a young boy energy that liked to like play pranks on people, and there was a spirit of a little girl who was very nervous. But she said that she felt like a lot of what happened at the LaLaurie house no longer is present there, and you know that a lot of the dark energy is just gone. So maybe some of the spirits have found rest. So hopefully that's true.
Well, I hate the idea of like if you're the victim of like some horrific crime, I hate the idea that you are reliving that your entire afterlife. Like I, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'd love to be a ghost at Disneyland. I think it would be a great afterlife. But like I can't imagine like reliving like the more like sad and tragic times in my life, right? Like, oh, so
So
sad.
I really do hope they've, you know, found some rest. You know, I had a lot of sources for this, and I had it mostly written, and then I came across the American Hauntings podcast, and they had a two-part episode. And you know, so I listened to that, and I updated some of what I had in here based on, you know, because they did like super in-depth research. But I will say they had a ton of information about the history. So, you know, if anybody wants a deeper dive into like the history of New Orleans or the politics or whatever, it was really interesting to listen to. And I'm just gonna mention this because I know people will be mad if I don't. But in April 2007, actor Nicolas Cage bought the house for $3.45 million, and some people say he never lived there. Some people say that he only stayed one night in the mansion and then was so freaked out by the spiritual energy that he ended up just renting it out to people. But he did end up having to file for bankruptcy, and he lost the house to foreclosure. So, and then just the, you know, other stupid Nicolas Cage New Orleans news is that he purchased this plot in a local cemetery, which is the St. Louis Cemetery, which is the one that a lot of famous people who have been buried there, including the like a voodoo queen that Angela Bassett was playing in the American Horror Story. Yeah, she was buried there. But he built a tomb in the shape of a pyramid, and that's where he plans to be interred when he dies. And there's a lot of theories that you know, he has ties to the Illuminati, but that's a story for another time. But the tomb reads Omni Ab Uno, which is Latin for everything from one. So I just thought that was an interesting side note.
Yeah, he's a strange duck. I was just talking about him earlier this week because I watched that terrible movie he did called Long Legs. Never need to see it again. I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable. His prosthetics are not cool. I just like.
See, me and the middle child saw it, and both of us sort of felt like we liked it, but it was weird, and I felt like it was like very drawn out in a way that it didn't need to be. So there were parts of it that felt very slow, but there was something that I found intriguing about it. I'm not sure what. So there's part of me that's like, I feel like I liked it, but both of us were like, we didn't really know what to say about it afterwards. So
I don't.
I didn't find it scary, but it was disturbing.
No, it was disturbing. Yeah, it wasn't scary, but I just that man is an odd duck. He is living out his odd duck days.
And then I was just gonna say, I know you already mentioned, but in pop culture, obviously Kathy Bates portrayed a heavily fictionalized character, but that was based on Miss Delphine and in American Horror Story. And it was like her performance was very acclaimed and earned her a Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Limited or Anthology Series or Movie. So, yay to her for being as creepy and scary and whatever as possible, because Kathy Bates is amazing.
Yeah,
And
also
then,
like good for her for retiring. Like, go Kathy. Like, you put in your dues. Like,
But she's retiring after she finishes Matlock, right? So
well, but
this is
Matlock's
like her last project.
already, yeah, like Matlock's already airing though. Like, it's already
Yeah.
out.
So this is her last project, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm glad, when you feel done and happy with your body of work. I like people that go out when they feel ready to,
Yeah, I mean, a lot of actors do nowadays, I feel like, retire. It makes sense. Like,
Yeah. And then there was a 1999 novel Fever Season where Barbara Hambury incorporated some of the events of the fire and the treatment of the enslaved people into the narrative of the story. So it's a mystery. And then in 2015 to 2017, there was a science fiction novel Unsung by Scott Alexander. And LaLaurie Delphine is mentioned as being in the nicest part of hell, reserved for the worst sinners, along with Hitler and Beria. So I thought that was funny that she got a mention in that. So that's where she shows up in pop culture. So,
yeah.
anyways, I mean, it's a horrible story, and I know that New Orleans has lots of ghosty things and dark history. And I want to stress, like, I don't want it to come across as disrespectful that I covered the ghost side of this, because I really, like, I think it's important that people know the story of what happened there to the enslaved people who were human beings and didn't deserve any of this. So yeah, I mean, I think the story is important because we have to see what fucked up things we've done in history, so we try not to repeat those things. So yeah, but I mean, I really want to stress that there's a lot of respect and care that I feel for the people who had to suffer at her hands. So,
No, totally. I mean, it's one of those things where I agree, like you sh we people should know the story, but it is just so dark and so sad and so hard to talk about. So
when she's just an awful human, and it kills me that she just lived the high life the rest of her life and had no consequences. I really hope she's burning in hell. If there is a hell, I'm not a religious person, but if there is a hell, I really do hope there's a special place in hell for her.
yeah. What is the one of the like in one of the levels of hell is like you're literally in Satan's mouth or some shit? That's where she belongs. Like just being chewed up for eternity. Like,
I really. I don't know. Yeah, but it kills me that she had no punishment for this. So,
yeah, no, I agree. I agree.
well, and then I couldn't really find much information about what happened to the people who were tortured and tormented by her. I mean, it was like they were in the human zoo and were receiving medical treatment, but it didn't say, like, were they freed? Were they just sold to other people? I mean, gosh, the fucking cook was 70 years old. Like, let the woman retire, but I wish there was more information on what happened with them. And I hope that they w earn their freedom, but because it's such a fucked up society, they probably didn't. But yeah, I was kind of bummed that I couldn't find out if anything positive ended up happening for them, because yeah, they really, yeah. I hope that they were able to be treated well later in life.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I don't want to say I don't think they probably, or I think they probably weren't freed, but I just kind of feel like that's unfortunately the world that they lived in.
Or I hope that whoever took them in treated them well,
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah, such a sad story. So sorry for being a downer, everybody, but thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah. I'm gonna go watch a Disney movie or something. Like, I
Was
can't.
gonna say, so now I need to go drink that wine and eat my pot roast so that I can like have some comfort food and some wine to dull the senses a little bit, but
No, I feel it. Yeah, it's so sad. Like, again, it's like not even, yeah, I don't know. The whole case just like hurts my heart. But anyway, friends, thanks for listening. If you like this episode, or our show, feel free to like, subscribe, rate 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts. We have an Instagram you could follow, which is What the Ale Pod. You could also send us emails if you ever want to reach out to us or give us topic suggestions, anything like that, which is whattheelpod@gmail.com. And lastly, we do have a Patreon page. So if you go ahead and subscribe there, we do bonus content and things. But outside of that, I just want to say I appreciate you, Mama.
You too, baby.
And we appreciate you, friends. Bye.
Bye.